This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Huawei, a security threat, but it's hiring. The book is Wireless Wars. Jonathan Pelson is the author. China's dangerous domination of 5G and how we're fighting back. It is now the recession, the Great Recession, 2008, 2009, 2010. Many companies are making considerations about their future because of the crash on Wall Street, the doubts about the future, the price of money. However, Huawei is hiring. And Jonathan Pelson's book takes us into a room in Richardson, Texas, where salespeople, really good with, you know, as Jonathan teaches me, if you've got a book of customers, you're worth a lot of money. You just have to pay you the right money. Huawei is bidding on these sales force from everywhere, and they're sometimes increasing their compensation by 30%. So they're all gathered in a room waiting for something to happen. Some of them, I imagine, have been there for days. It's a rudimentary room. They're on folding chairs. There's some big hitters in the room. And in walks an HR woman who gives them a speech. What does she tell them, John?
Well, she's talking to these people, and they're all, some of them have been laid off from Lucent or Nokia or Siemens, whoever. Some of them were hired away, lured away from those companies. And she's explaining how it will be working for Huawei now. And she says, among other things, she says, please stop submitting expenses or incurring expenses. And they're, some of them are getting nervous because their former employers did that just before they went under. They said, "What did we get sold a bill of goods here? Is Huawei going under? What's happening?" She explains that all the expenses are being handled on her American Express card for the company. Travel, parties, office supplies. And she says, you have to hold off until I pay off this month. She just didn't understand, I think, how things were done in the U.S. But she also said, when you are traveling on business, and these are salespeople, some of them are making $300,000-$400,000 a year. These are big players. She says, I want you to be sure to stay with friends when you're in a foreign city. Find someone whose couch you can sleep on. If you absolutely must get a hotel room, and there's more than one of you on the trip, we want you all sharing that room together.
One of the hitters, one of the major senior figures, stands up, walks out of the room, turns in his Huawei-issued computer, and walks out the door. Was that a majority opinion at the time, or was everybody willing to go along with this startup?
People were hanging in there at the start, but what they found is there was really no business traction. Huawei, for all of its resources they were putting, was not really making any sales in the United States, at least not to any of the big carriers like Sprint or Verizon or AT&T Wireless.
Ron Marino, 2011. Remember, this is during the Great Recession and the recovery. America's economy is fragile, but in any event, the market for the smartphone is growing because iPhone is launched in 2007, 2008 is my memory, and it's dominating the market. Nokia is the other builder, and that's, I think, Samsung. And so what we Samsung is making chips. Everybody's competing here, and Huawei wants into the market. And so they also want to know what's going on at the front lines of research and development in smartphones, in wireless technology. And we're all with 4G at this time, right, John? 4G is pretty uniform.
That's right. We're going from 3G to 4G around now.
Right. And Ron Marino takes a plane to China. He's got a cell phone he's been issued. However, when he gets off the plane in Beijing, no one meets him. And the cell phone doesn't work, so fine. He makes his way to Shenzhen's headquarters of Huawei, walks in the door, and he's asked for his cell phone immediately by the security guard, which he gives over because, of course, it doesn't work anyway. Why was he surprised in the building, John? What was he there to do?
Well, he's there as a new engineer employee. He works on radios, on antennas is really his expertise, radios and antennas. He's worked for defense contractors. He's worked for telecom companies, and antennas are getting pretty sophisticated now in the latest generation of wireless. They're not just big dumb things you bolt to a tower. But as he's walking through the offices to the conference room, he sees a gun safe at every desk, and he's thinking, "What in the world? What are they armed here? What's going on at Huawei headquarters? Who are they afraid of?" He gets to the conference room. He spends 8 hours just being peppered by rotating teams of Huawei engineers, just asking him about everything he's worked on. How does it work? What does it do? Not your typical project for a new hire. They're just trying to pump his brains for whatever he knows. And on his way out of the office, he sees what those safes are. They're not actually gun safes. Everyone is clearing off their desk and stuffing everything into the safe and locking it because they don't want their information to be stolen. And I asked him, who would have stolen their information? Are they afraid that Ericsson's going to break into a Shenzhen office building? He said, no. Partially, they're worried about ZTE, another Chinese company up the street. But they're also worried about the guy down the hall. Said they steal each other's work. They present it as their own. They get more budget. They get more kudos. And they don't want anyone to see anything they're working on or anything they've touched.
That modest man, Ren, he explains this by calling it a wolf culture. Ren had a meeting, I believe it was in 1997, with Zhen Ziming. Yes, he met the boss. And he was blessed by the boss, the chair, general secretary at the time. Was it Deng Xiaoping? Who did he meet in 97? Deng Xiaoping.
Okay.
Yeah. And that everybody knows that Ren is blessed, and they leave him alone to develop this company. But the company is now going from being invited in by Lucent to being suspect as a security risk. I noted one of the questions that Marina was asked in your summary, John, was how do we get around this patent? Now, John, I know a couple of lawyers. That like is a fire alarm. Did anybody back home know what was going on here?
No one outside of the people in the midst of it understood what was really happening at this point. And Ron told me, he said, look, they were paying me great money to do this. But he said, I would not share with them anything that was classified because he had worked on a lot of classified projects. But he said, I just wasn't comfortable. He said, also, the technology for cellular at the time, the very sophisticated antennas, if you took the frequency up to a different frequency broadcast level, that's what was being used for anti-missile technology at the time. And he said, I knew it and China knew it. And they were still asking me these questions. And I said, I'm not going to play this game anymore. And he quit working there pretty quickly.
What can go wrong and why? It's 2019. Triangle Communications. John, your stories are so wonderful. They built cell towers around Great Falls, Montana. I've been to Montana. I didn't go all the way to Great Falls, but there's nothing out there. There's nothing. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It goes on for miles. And the idea that they're building cell towers out there, good for them. I understand the government mandates that in some fashion there's money out of the federal government. But there's a discovery about those switching towers, the triangle communications. Everybody's guessed it already, but explain, John.
Sure. You know, this was a revelation for me. When I was researching the book, I met with a section chief at the FBI, a guy named John Lankart. And I said, you know, while we never really got any big American accounts, they couldn't sell to Verizon and Sprint. They sold to little mom and pop shops, independent cellular carriers that you don't even know exist, that serve areas that no one else will serve. And he said, do you know what's out there? I said, yeah, nothing's out there. That's why they're out there. He said, no. All of America's nuclear missile bases, our Special Operations Command, surrounded by Huawei cell towers all over the country. And I said, well, I've been working on this book for months now. I've seen nothing. And he pointed me to some testimony from Jessica Rosenworcel, at the time a commissioner of the FCC. Now she's a chairwoman. She testified to the Senate that this is going on. I found the photographs of the Huawei towers looking over our nuclear missile bases. The media had no interest. No one followed up. And you know what? Today, years later, that's still the equipment that's serving a lot of our most sensitive missile bases and military facilities in America. Still Huawei equipment in this country.
We've laid out dots here, John. 2001, 2000, dots of security breaches. And the FBI is not uninformed in some of these. I didn't make a list, but they're part of the conversation. They certainly were with Pat Russo's revelation in April 2000. Is anybody constructing this and connecting these dots to your knowledge? These are several administrations, lots of opportunities, but Washington's a small town. Does anybody drive this story now saying, hey, pay attention?
Yeah, FBI, I think, was all over this. And they had a team that was trying to do what they could to stop it. But as I said, these are private companies buying equipment that is not illegal. It took a few years ago now in the Trump administration, the State Department ended up taking the lead. There's a guy named Keith Kroc, who was Assistant Secretary of State, and he helped drive this anti-Huawei initiative around the world, really, to get countries to say we're only putting in trusted equipment. And they started effectively blacklisting Huawei, who had been really hacking a lot of these national networks and been caught dead to rights in a lot of cases. The entire African Union complex that Huawei built was all connecting back to Shenzhen at midnight and sending all their information. And so this finally started to get shut down. And a couple of years ago, Congress even budgeted money to rip and replace all the Huawei equipment. I spoke to someone who was doing it not long ago, and I said, so you guys ripped it all out last year? And he said, well, no, not yet. See, they gave the money, but none of these local companies want to tear out old 4G and put in new 4G, which is what the law says. They want to put in new 5G. So it's all still Huawei. And that was not too long ago I had that conversation.
Huawei, what is to be done? The book is Wireless Wars. Jonathan Pelson is the author. China's Dangerous Domination of 5G and How We're Fighting Back. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.